Hi, everybody. This is Deirdre Fay from Safely Embodied, and this is our second podcast, and I am thrilled to talk to you. And with Alice Rosen, who's going to be sharing her wisdom with us. I've known Alice for years and years and years, and come to find out she's been doing the work that she's been doing with food and mindfulness and psychotherapy for 30 years, and it shows in the work that she does. I've had a number of clients take her workshops and find it really helpful. And she's been doing more and more of finding ways for people to come into their bodies around food, which is why I wanted to talk to her. She has this idea of bringing the body to the table, and I thought that would be a really good entry point for us to start talking, Alice. So can you say a little bit more about what that means to you and what you're doing with that?
Hi, Deirdre. First of all, thanks. I'm very happy to be here. It's more bringing the body back to the table, because originally our bodies were definitely at the table in respect to eating. We knew exactly when we were hungry and how much we needed, and probably what we needed. You know, we probably would have spit out orange juice as an infant if it was given to us. So we're bringing the body back to the table. The way I like to visualize it is, imagine a boardroom table, and the task of the boardroom, everyone around the boardroom table, is to make a decision about when, what, and how much to eat. And in speaking of a disordered population, there's a range of that. So what kind of voices might be around the table deciding when to eat? What do you think?
Oh, my gosh. I'm nervous, I'm anxious, I'm angry, I'm upset, a lot of feeling kind of voices.
Yeah, so when I'm feeling such and such, I want to eat, and then there's other voices that say you can only eat at a certain hour, or you can only eat if no one's around, you know, or you should eat at this time. So all these voices telling you when you should eat, that have nothing to do with the body, right?
Well, certainly not with the aid of intelligence.
Right. And then what to eat. Then there's a whole phalanx of voices and messages, both internal and external, certainly, that tell us what to eat, from restrictive messages to, oh, hell, just eat whatever you want. You know, all types of polarity of what to eat. And then how much to eat. Again, as much as I can get when no one's looking, until it's all gone. And then the other side is the restrictive, only 1p. And so all these voices work together, or not actually together, because they actually take over. Like if there's a restrictive voice going on, then that shuts down the other voices. And then at some point in time, that restrictive voice gets tired and the other voices work. So whoever gets to beat each other up first or be on top gets to run the show. And in the meantime, where's the body?
What do you mean by that, where's the body?
Well, if you visualize this, there's no body sitting at the table. There's no sensing aspect. So the body, very specifically about eating, the body's first voice would be, I'm hungry, or I'm not hungry, or I'm no longer hungry. That's just like an essential voice. I mean, that's the seat of survival. So if you don't invite the body's voice about hunger, you will be disordered against the natural order. You know, with the natural nature's order, and that creates all kinds of diseases on top of that.
Wow.
So the body is the only place which can tell us these things. And not only are you hungry, but the body definitely knows what would satisfy that hunger. So if you were really protein starved, you'd be conjuring up some ideas of protein in your head. Not iceberg lettuce, you know, and vice versa. If you needed different kinds of vitamins and minerals, you might be thinking of fruit and vegetables, and that would satisfy
that. Isn't that amazing? that's really something that we can depend on then. If what our body needs and wants actually sends us messages of what it needs. Boy, that's
yes.
Most, including myself, don't operate in that.
I know. I mean, you said it's amazing, and I guess it is amazing because nature is amazing. The whole thing is so amazing, how the body, you know, how the body communicates to the brain and the brain communicates back. I mean, it's so complex. It is absolutely amazing. But pretty much for everyone in the world, it works. That system works. I mean, the body works in that way. And it fascinates me that the powers that be who profit off this dysfunction continue to perpetrate the myth that we can't trust our bodies. And so if you go back to this image that I have, I see the body as like a demon, a poor beaten down demon chained in the dungeon. You know, like the body is so ashamed of itself and exiled. You know, the body is exiled. And when the body has a feeling, we have to, you know, if somehow a feeling is transmitted, like you said, when I asked you, when do you eat? And you said, for feelings, to sort of medicate and sedate feelings. Somehow those feelings get through because they're so strong, but then immediately they slam it down. You know, the other voices say, eat this, you know, eat a pizza. So you won't have to feel those feelings instead of welcoming the wisdom and the intelligence of the body.
And so it sounds like there's a discernment process that has to happen between when is it our native body with the wisdom and when is it all these other voices that are sort of sitting in for the body. Like if I'm listening to my body and my body says I need protein and then I have another voice that says, well, you can't eat now, you shouldn't eat now, you shouldn't eat that kind of protein, you really shouldn't, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I really need to go through a discerning process.
Well, that brings in another aspect called, let's just call it awareness, you know, self-awareness, presence, in any, which I think is in the space. It's there. Presence is there. Awareness is there. If we take a breath for it. And I know that's what you do, right? When you're, you know, practice embodying. And so there does need to be made space for awareness to come in and essentially mediate it. It's a space to make the decision. So, okay, my body says I'm very hungry, but there actually is nothing here except something that I'm very allergic to. So I have to tell the body, I get that you're very hungry. I'm sorry we didn't bring something to eat. And we're going to leave as soon as we can. And as soon as we can, we're going to get what you want to eat. For example, it's that place of let's mediate this. We have to also be in reality, you know. But normally in our days, the voice says, no, you shouldn't eat that. And awareness can say, well, there's 50,000 messages about what you can eat and what you can't eat, and the most powerful message is to first listen to yourself and eat that in a way in which you stay attuned to it so that you can pick up when you've had enough or if it doesn't taste good or if you eat it mindfully enough, if you feel like you're getting hives or whatever, you know, you can be the one to determine how much of that food would satisfy you. And there really are no bad foods. I mean, you might have moral and ethical decisions about foods, about not to eat those grapes because of who grows them and that kind of stuff.
You might be allergic to it.
Yes, and if you're allergic to it, then the body lets you know that, and it's important for you to know that, to honor that. So if you have a disease, say diabetes, which I hear a lot about, and I want to actually wish I could engage more people with diabetes. If you're supposed to be very careful about eating sugars, okay, to differentiate that part of you that wants sugar because she feels deprived or because sugar would dampen some feelings from the place in the body that's actually maybe needing some sugar. to really differentiate that and
wow.
and to understand what your limits are, you know, and to, but to still know that you can get tremendous pleasure out of food. So we can't always have everything we want, you know.
That is the difference between living from a more adult point of view and then these voices that are younger and need to get satiated whatever way they can.
Yeah, I think, I you know, and I'd rather use, yes, I'll use the word adult, yes, adult. And so the younger voices might be much more impulsive and much more like, I don't care what you say, you know, with your fingers in your ears and stamping, you know. So it is always something to go back to. You can always go back to, I think, breath first, because the breath is, has space in it. So am I hungry?
Well, why don't we, can you lead us in a little embodied
experience? Yeah, would love to. So I don't know what time this is, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, this is going to air at another time, right? Right now, for those of you who are listening, see if you can, if you're multitasking at this moment, which is possible, why don't you see if you can stop that for just a minute? And then be seated, or you can lay down. And preferably lengthen your spine so that you're, when you breathe, the breath can go from bottom to top freely. And adjust your body for comfort. And then this is simply a question. Ask yourself, am I hungry? And maybe you can do this with me, Deirdre, because, I mean, what's your answer, am I hungry?
Sit with it and I feel into my belly. I realize, no, I'm not hungry. Actually,
so you know you're not hungry. You didn't have to think about it, did you?
Well, the question oriented me. I wouldn't have known before or after, but then just having you point me and I'm feeling my belly feels full, not necessarily of food, but quiet and full and not hungry, yeah.
Hey, so you're not hungry, and someone else might out there might know that she or he is hungry, and it's not something you have to think about. If you have to think about, am I hungry? It's those places, it's those voices around the table going, well, let's see, maybe I'm. I think there's room for. Oh, I bet you know, trying to negotiate to get. These are the deprived parts of you trying to negotiate to get food because there's other parts that don't want you to have food. So. If you have to think about it, you're not hungry. Now, there's gradations of hunger for sure. So I could ask you again. Let's go back. Take a breath. Now, just imagine there's a scale. 0 on the scale being famished. 10 being so stuffed that you can't keep it in. And 5 is neutral. 5 is not yet hungry or no longer hungry or not hungry yet. I think I said that. So notice where you are on that scale. You're at 5 or above. So just, it's arbitrary, of course, but just notice where you are.
That might be a 5.
Okay, so you're 5 or 4?
Somewhere in there.
Well, so 4 means you have a little bit of hunger.
4, it means that I'm aware that I haven't eaten, could be getting ready to eat, yeah. But I'm definitely not on the stuffed end, but I feel full.
Okay. Okay, so
5 feeling full.
Yeah, so 5 isn't full. 5 is neutral. 10 is stuffed, okay? And so people usually, you know, you can end, you can fill yourself to any level except too full, depending upon the situation. But now you have an awareness that you're not hungry, which is a really good place to be, because what if someone now brought in what would be your thing that you might be attracted to if you weren't hungry?
Oh, gosh. Well, the places where I might be tempted.
Yeah.
Something good, like something that somebody had made that smell, had yummy smells.
So, Deirdre, I'm just brought in this wonderful cake that I just baked. And I brought it for you. And would you like a slice right now?
Oh, my God. See, then one of my problems is I get caught in feeling I have to be nice to people.
Yes. So there's another voice.
I want that right now. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's another. So let's make a space for that part of the table and validate it. And let's have awareness. So normally at this table, awareness is sitting at the head of the table and the body sitting to the right or left-hand side. Okay? So the body says, but I'm not hungry. And awareness says, now, that is a beautiful piece of cake. And when you are hungry, that would be so delicious, or when you have space for that, because you don't usually eat cake when you're starving, if you know what I mean. But that would be lovely with my snack today, or for my snack, or after lunch today. So you say to the person, oh, my God, that is such a beautiful cake, and I'm not really hungry right now, so I won't possibly be able to appreciate it as much as I could if I was hungry. Please save me. I'm going to take a slice and save it for later when I can really give this cake its due. And that also is respecting the cake. So like you can have it all.
I'm aware of all the different levels. You know, there's both the organic hunger, the biological hunger, psychological hunger, and then also this whole piece of the social context. That
exactly.
Food sits in. And all the people who've told me over the years of how you should eat now, you should eat more, don't leave your plate empty, those kind of things. And
exactly. So it's a minefield, I guess. It's not as easy as I said, is it? But we can do all this gracefully. And I teach people to eat mindfully together with, you know, in potluck circumstances. And it's very easy to honor yourself. Now, sometimes you don't because it's not in your best interest. Say, okay, when I was traveling in the Middle East with my daughter and she was in the Peace Corps, so we went into real people's homes and their only desire was to feed us till we burst. And you know, things that normally I might not eat or blah, blah, blah. Anyway, no, I said to my body, this is not the time for you to trump the decisions. I will listen to you. I will eat slowly and all that stuff, but I must eat this in order to not create a war.
Right.
I will just, you know, I will give that up for now because the body is so flexible. We've, you know, these bodies have endured famines and all kinds of things. We can, you know, we can handle all this. If it comes from a place of awareness, if it comes from a place of losing control, you can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that clear?
Yeah, it sure is. I'm feeling with a tender heart how hard it is to sometimes just be present enough to be aware. It's feeling a lot of compassion for all of us.
I know. Well, eating issues are connected to literally everything. And so it's right to have compassion. I mean, to look at the other side, food is literally connected to everything. There's nothing food is not connected to, but it's essential for life, and it's connected integrally to nature, but it's connected to love and connection and joy and celebration. And food is so connected to the body because we eat food in order to survive, and then food is literally transmuted into the very cells of our body. And so, and then connected to economics and social pressures and all the kinds of things. And yes, it's not so easy. And so my idea, and I think your idea is the same, like you call it safely embodied. Right? That's a process.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, how can we do this incrementally? Maybe the first thing is just to ask if you're hungry and know that you're not hungry, but that there's a part of you that feels so powerful you can't disobey it right now. No, but to know the truth, just to know the truth. And also to begin to be curious about, why is this part so strong? You know, this part of me that I have to eat. And so it's very multi-leveled, and I'm glad you're asking these questions because sometimes it sounds so simplistic. On one level, it's totally simple. And another level, it's not.
Yeah, I'm so not. I totally get that. Well, I'm aware of the time, but I want to make sure people know how to get a hold of you and your website.
That's theconsciouscafe.org.
And there's all kinds of information there. You have a workshop coming up in April, I know.
Yes, I do. And I have a CD set, a 4-CD set, which has, you know, the teachings sort of in bite-sized portions that you can digest by yourself in your own time with exercises in your own time. So it's a very handy tool. I designed that instead of having to read a book, which sometimes I think becomes a lot to read. So you can just listen to something and take it in to the best you can. Follow a program.
Well, it's very intriguing, and I really encourage people to take a, you know, listen to this, practice the awareness, and then also, if it feels right, to go to a workshop or to get the CDs, or be in touch with Alice and see if there's another way she can help you. I know you have groups also.
Yes, I have conscious eating groups called the Conscious Cafe, again, where people come hungry and we eat mindfully together, as people would do in the real world, practice real world eating and then process what issues come from that. And of course, I also work individually.
Yeah, good. Good. Well, thank you, Alice. I appreciate it a lot for you taking the time to
My pleasure.